ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Cinema Hangover, where three completely unqualified individuals drink and talk about movies. My name's Taylor, and I'm here with my co-hosts, Oliver and Shannon.
Yo.
Hello.
All right. What the fuck are we talking about today?
We are talking about a hood classic.
Oh, we can't do that every time.
But it is. The one and only E.T.
I'm sorry. I'm going to have to say, I can't justify placing Hood next to E.T. That just does not work out.
It is a Hood classic.
It's a classic,
yes.
It's just a
Hood?
Classic.
No.
Yeah, come on.
Hood classic? No.
What are we talking about?
What did
about?
You use for Hood classic before?
Wasn't it Godfather?
I don't know. A certified Hood classic. I don't know what we use it for, but we have used it twice in a very short amount of time, and it's got to stop.
Anyways, we're talking about E.T.
And we're drinking Coors.
And we're drinking some Coors
Banquet.
It's like Macho Man, like, Coors. Get Coors in
here. Spoiler alert.
Coors.
Quick
spoiler alert. We're going to get drunk off Coors Banquet just like E.T. does.
I'm sorry. I've been seeing, what was it, some random Macho Man, like, clips on, like.
Oh, God, that's not great.
No, no, sorry. Sorry, out of context, that sounds hilarious. But, yeah, no, so it just came to mind. So Macho Man's, like, very front.
Yeah. And this is the second time we've actually drank Coors Banquet.
I feel the
70s
in this beer.
Yeah.
Wait, no.
Yeah, we drank.
No.
For the holdovers, we also drank Coors.
It's not Coors. It's Miller.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're right. It was Miller, the champagne of beers.
Yeah.
The champagne.
Miller's
Miller's High Life.
Yeah. Okay. Anyways, whoa.
Sorry, guys.
Bro, we barely even taking a sip. No, we're going off the rails.
If any of you guys have listened to any of our other podcasts, we just recently reviewed Legend of Ochi, and I've talked about wanting to watch E.T.
Yes.
In that episode.
Yeah, and we're going to try and hold ourselves accountable going forward.
I was definitely going to change my pick.
Shannon specifically would just say, oh, I'm going to do this movie, and then we've been doing this podcast for, 3 years almost?
Yeah, 3 years. Yeah.
And, there's so many movies that Shannon keeps saying that we're going to do, and we never do, so now we're accountable, and we're doing E.T.
Well... Yeah.
Go listen to the Legend of Ochi podcast,
and I was like, damn, now I have to pick E.T. And not that not that picking E.T. is a bad option.
No, this movie rules.
It definitely rules. But I was kind of wanting to do a different pick, but I'm kind of glad we watched E.T. because while we were watching it, I realized I didn't remember jack shit about this movie.
Really?
I thought that Drew Barrymore's character was the one that found E.T.
Wild.
How?
I haven't seen it since I was so little.
Oh, fair.
Yeah, she didn't remember any of it. Meanwhile, I could watch it with my eyes closed
and
know it was happening.
Oh, sir.
Yeah.
I've seen this movie many, many times.
That's
many,
fair.
Many times. And it's actually the second third Steven Spielberg movie we've done in a relatively short amount of time.
That's what I said when it came
out.
I was like,
Jurassic
oh, another
Park
Steven
and
Spielberg.
E.T.
And all of them have been my picks.
all of them? Okay, don't hit them with the finger in the air. I don't even think that we need to do we can do a synopsis.
A boy finds an alien and they have to bring the alien back to his home.
Yeah, that's basically it.
They need to phone his home.
I
don't really know if there's too much else to say about the story. I would say this is one of those movies that at the end of the podcast we're gonna ask the question, oh, is this movie for everyone? And I'm gonna just cut us off at the pass right here and say, yep, it's for everyone. I don't care who you are listening to this podcast. Mm-hmm. Go watch the movie. Go watch E.T. You should just go see it.
For such a short synopsis, they managed to pack out 2 hours worth of the film. Like,
two
holy
hours
shit.
On the dot.
God fucking damn.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the 2 hours.
I did too. Taylor! Oh.
I just love the fact that it was that silence. Just that look.
Hang on. We would dive into the movie, but have you never seen E.T. before?
No, I thought you guys already do. Okay, guys, you should not be surprised anymore!
Wait, did he tell us this when we were talking about Legend
I think
of
so.
Taylor! Oh my god!
How should you be surprised right now? I know. This is literally
no,
my
no,
first
this
time.
Is, this is good.
Okay,
this
I
is
just,
good.
No,
this is good.
No, just stop. I want
this
everyone.
Is good.
You make it sound like it's intervention. No, this is good. This is progress.
I want everyone to stop what they're doing right now. and just know, as uncultured as Oliver thinks I am, Taylor takes the cake.
I definitely surprised
E.T.
people with it.
What else? Jurassic Park. What was another one that you hadn't seen?
Godfather.
You hadn't either. What, Jaws?
Mm-hmm.
He hadn't seen Jaws.
Maybe he just hasn't seen any Steven Spielberg films
at all. I have seen Indiana Jones.
Certified hood classics.
You gotta stop.
Hey, I've seen Indiana Jones at least.
She had never seen that. She had never seen Indiana Jones.
See, I got one.
I gotta think of another one that's a certified
hood classic. I actually think that this is to the benefit of the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, Shannon and I have seen it and clearly have somewhat of an affinity or nostalgia for it, and mm-hmm. you've never seen it before. So you'll be the person that has the most...
Hashtag fresh lens.
Yeah. That.
Oh, shit. Shannon looks concerned. Yeah, oh, no.
I'm concerned about you.
What I will say is that regardless of Taylor's hesitation, the movie is absolutely age appropriate for anybody. There's not too much troubling in it.
They actually go to certain lengths. I was surprised the film actually did.
Yeah, and like, so it's a movie that is famous for a reason. Whether you like it or not, we'll find out if the fresh pair of eyes enjoyed it as much. But I think that go watch it.
Yeah, go watch it.
I don't think it's 2 hours that won't be wasted.
Yeah, no, it's classic for a reason. Yeah.
Also, you get to see little Drew Barrymore, and she looks exactly the same.
Dude, for real. It's hilarious.
It's crazy.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, with that being said, Taylor,
take
it away.
All right, cool. All right, so this movie starts off pretty interestingly because it actually starts off with the aliens themselves, which kind of surprised me.
Yeah, can I say something really quick?
Yeah.
No. It actually has to do directly with the opening.
Oh, yeah.
I think that the opening of E.T., as I was watching it, you know, Shannon and I just watched it a couple days ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think the opening of E.T. might be one of the most brilliant openings to a movie as far as visual storytelling goes that I can remember in a long time. And the reason that I say that is Steven Spielberg, there's actually a quick tangent. But somebody took Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark and put it in black and white and removed the sound.
Oh, shit.
And the point of that was to show how really terrific Steven Spielberg is at visual storytelling and blocking, and that you can watch that movie in black and white with no sound and still basically know exactly what's happening at all times just with how it's shot.
Oh, I love that.
So with that being said, the opening to E.T. is a really good example of that because you essentially, without any spoken dialogue, you know exactly what is, like, you know exactly what is happening. You know exactly who's good, who's bad, or maybe who's like neutral.
Yeah.
And who's bad. It just paints a really good picture really, really quickly. But basically how the movie opens is it opens on the aliens, like you were just saying. And the way that the score is performed,
also done by John Williams.
Yep. And the score is awesome.
Yeah, like, no, it's
everyone. You probably, even if you don't know it, you've probably heard this score somewhere before.
You have. You fucking have.
But it opens on the aliens, and you can't really see any of them, but you can see that they are like, they hear a noise in the woods, and they actively stop moving, and you can tell that they're not antagonistic.
Yeah,
they're like definitely passive.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see one of them, again, you only see their hands, but you see one of them like gently dig up a tree, keeping its roots intact, and then bringing that tree into their ship that's full of other plants. And it's pretty easy to start to understand that these guys are like gathering specimens.
That's what I realized. Like, you mean tell me E.T. this whole time was
he's
a fucking
botanist?
Yeah,
he's a botanist.
I was about to say.
Yeah,
like, what the fuck? Oh, okay, well, shit, he's just a space gardener.
And
This is the Martian, but in reverse.
So they're like kind of like...
Oh my God. That is actually a pretty hilarious description of E.T. It's the Martian, but in reverse.
The Martian in reverse, yeah. I mean, kind of, yeah.
Oh my God, that's great.
But basically, it's like all at night, and, you know, it's kind of like this mysterious score is going on, and they're all in nature, and there's like these wide-angle shots of these big trees. And
I don't know why. I just immediately started imagining E.T. hugging trees.
He probably would be. But then, like, in rolls in, like... super loud, these trucks with these like hot, these like these bright lights on them, and like the if there's a shot of like the exhaust like rattling and shooting like mm-hmm. exhaust out, and then all these people come out and they have all this equipment, and you don't see any of their faces. It's almost all from ET's perspective, waist down.
And then there's this one particular
there's this
dude
one that has keys.
Yeah, it's fucking key jangler over here.
And the way
like,
and
the way
that the keys jangle, everything just feels super artificial, and everything yeah. just feels like you immediately realize like, oh, these guys are the bad guys.
Yeah.
At least that's how the movie
They're
is
the
kind
baddies.
Of painting them. Yeah. And I just think it's like a really brilliant way. I mean, obviously more happens in that opening scene, but there's no yep. dialogue, and super efficiently you are like, oh, the aliens aren't the bad guys. Mm. They're clearly scared. And like these guys that just rolled in, they're the bad guys. And yeah. then it cuts to our actual cast who are like playing D&D, which I actually never put together.
Which is kind of hilarious because this is like the umpteenth time I've seen D&D played in like this type of like setting. I'm just like, how prominent is D&D utilized as like a way of showcasing like kids like hanging out and playing in the 80s.
Play D&D all the time in the 80s?
It was
80s.
Big in the 80s.
It was yeah. huge in the yeah. 80s.
So yeah. much so that there's all these movements against it. That
yeah, the
that
whole
it was
satanic
like,
panic.
Yeah,
satanic.
Yeah.
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 yeah, that was a huge thing.
Yeah. Well, that is maybe a conversation for a different time. But I just oh, wanted, yeah. to, as you were kind of painting yeah. the picture, I just wanted to like say, you know, express how I just, Steven Spielberg is a great visual storyteller.
Yes.
And the opening scene to E.T. is probably one of the best in terms of
showing, not telling.
Zero. Yeah, exactly. You just know exactly what the stakes are. You know exactly what is happening. You know exactly where kind of everybody stands in the situation, and there's zero dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
It's all just sound and sight, and I just think it's really brilliant. So,
you know what's funny? I had the initial thought process, because I knew like the antagonist was like the government type of deal,
mm-hmm.
but as the vehicles were pulling up and the guys were popping out, I kind of had the thought of like, you know, it would be kind of hilarious if it was like alien, like conspiracy theorist type of folks. And then as soon as I thought that, I was like, you know, this would be a hilarious like parody to have like Dale Gribble to be like the fucking like antagonist in E.T., like a robot chicken type of situation. That'd be fucking hilarious. So, yeah, that's basically been my experience. Kind of, I've been like memeing throughout the course of this movie, and it's been kind of hilarious. So,
I'm interested to see
yeah,
what you feel about it.
I
want to
know how you feel.
Yeah, I mean, we can keep going like a play by play.
Yeah,
if
yeah.
you feel.
So when the opening of the movie pops up, and I discover that E.T.'s a fucking scientist, I'm like, all right, this is fucking pimp.
Yeah,
yep. He's a fucking botanist. He's like a hippie botanist. Great. And I was like, okay, how the fuck did you get stranded? Like, I'm curious here. So there was an initial like scene of him like wandering around. He's like, oh shit, there's lights out here. Yeah, that's cool. But then, like, you know, the government pops up and they're hunting around trying
to
find
aliens. To be
fair,
you don't know that they're the government.
True,
but,
true.
But again,
over time,
how,
you figure it out.
But also, again, in how they're organized and how they act, you just kind of like immediately assume that they're the government.
Right. Just, exactly.
Just
or
really
they're like some sort of like,
yeah.
like well organized body. Yeah,
well,
yeah.
No one would be running after aliens besides the government.
Oh, yes.
Or a bunch of conspiracy theories.
Yeah, oh, yes, there would.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe.
No, that's true. So
should then report it to the government.
That's true. But then they roll up, and E.T.'s like, oh, shit, this is fucking creepy. And what was it that actually, like...
For the record, E.T. never says that. Can you imagine if E.T. was like, oh, shit.
That would be funny
oh,
as fuck.
Fuck, it's the government.
Maybe Taylor... maybe.
Oh, shit, it's the man.
Taylor would like this movie yeah. more if he did.
That would be funny.
Oh, fuck, that's, the man.
That's actually what was going through his head. It was like his internal monologue, like, ah, shit, it's the
and
man.
And you're painting E.T. to be like this hippie, so E.T.'s like, he's like throwing his weed out there.
Yeah,
like,
dude!
Oh, fuck, the government, dude.
Dude, run, that would run. Actually be a prime parody film. Oh my god, this is getting better and better. We're actually building like the ultimate E.T. parody film right now.
Yeah, screw the podcast review. Let's just think about the most ridiculous things that we could
He just
do.
Has his drug rug and his like rock safari and hat on. Like, oh fuck, run. Shit.
Dude, it's hilarious. So at this point, so the aliens have gathered their specimens, and so their hearts like basically glow as an indication like, all right, guys, we gotta get the fuck home. So E.T., who's trying to hide from these entities that are searching, he's like, oh, shit. He's trying to, you know, keep himself incognito. Yeah. Next thing you know, his chest, like, freaking beams, and it makes a noise. He's like, ah! Well, he doesn't make a noise, but internally, I bet
he does.
Like, ah!
He does make a noise when he runs away. Yeah.
That's true. You go, my immediate thoughts go, whoa, 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 whoa. Yeah. So, like, the entities that are, like, hunting out, it's like, ah, shit, we hear something. So they're chasing after E.T., and he's freaking, like, sprinting his ass across the forest with his little feetsies, which...
Yep.
How the fuck does he run? I don't no fucking idea.
E.T., like, his just body shape is just so funny to me. Also, he kind of looks like the chocolate.
Chocolate.
Yeah. I'm doing a really bad impression of it.
I don't see it.
Yeah, when it's just his little long neck sticking up.
Yeah, no, I can see it.
Okay. Yeah. Anyways.
So he's sprinting across trying to get to his ship, like, ah, fuck, guys! Run, fuck, Popo's on me, type of deal. That's what it looks like he's basically operating as. It's like, get the fuck out! He's like, oh, well, fuck him. And so, ship
Okay. All right.
See, I don't think the tonal whiplash.
It's so inaccurate. It's so crazy.
But that's what makes it great.
I don't think E.T. would cuss.
No, he doesn't. Taylor's saying that, like, E.T.'s family is like just waiting and like, I'll fuck him, and closes the door.
No. I know that's not what happened. They were like, ah, fuck, we got to
They don't go. Seem like the F-bomb type of
No,
aliens.
They're like quiet and happy and passive.
They just want to garden on their planet.
They're researchers. That's what they are.
That's true.
But yeah, oh well, fuck him. Just leave.
But that would be a hilarious circumstance.
Okay, all right. Actually, I'm kind of enjoying you telling the story because it's... Whatever you're hearing here in the podcast, just know it's not at all what the at least not at all what the tone of the
movie is. I will
admit,
I might have gotten a bootleg copy of the film, so my recollection might be a bit off. But
did we watch the same E.T.?
I'm wondering. There were some questionable shit in the film. So yeah, so long story short, the ship does leave, and E.T.'s like, oh no! And he's like, oh, well... I'm fucked now. Because he's stranded on Earth like, oh, God, that was my only ride. What the fuck, guys?
Taylor didn't watch the extraterrestrial. Taylor over here watched the extra testicle. I don't know what he's talking about.
That would actually be a hilarious.
We gotta contain ourselves. Here. This is nuts.
Oh, Lord.
This is gonna be the worst podcast.
I'm so sorry for anyone listening to the ear blasting that's happening here.
All right, so scene cut. So it transitions to the kids playing D&D, right? And we introduce to the main character outside of E.T., and his name is Elliot.
Elliot.
What did you say?
I was pointing at Shannon to like pull up have the names ready, but it's Elliot.
Elliot.
Yes. So at this point, you know, his brother and a bunch of his friends are playing D&D.
He does not have a brother. Yes, he does.
How the fuck?
He's only like an integral part of the entire story.
What do you mean? No, he's actually significant.
He is.
Yeah, dude. Okay.
Absolutely.
I'm going to say this off the jump.
Barely.
His brother is actually... kind of relevant to the film.
Not until the very, very end.
But this is a good point to kind of mention something that I would like to mention.
Yeah.
Is that I actually think that the sibling, like the family bond, I guess I'm losing my train
family
of thought.
Family dynamic.
When I watched E.T. as a kid,
yeah.
I enjoyed it for like the alien aspect and the adventure aspect. Yeah. And that was really fun. But now watching it as an adult, I really actually appreciated the like family aspect to it.
Oh yeah, agree.
The
absolutely
connection
agree.
Between like the single mom and like
the mom going through the divorce.
Dude, that shit made me sad. I'm like, oh fuck.
He doesn't even like Mexico.
That shit made me go like, that's fucked.
But like the single mom trying her best, and then honestly, the three siblings that are like, they may joke around and like make fun of each other as siblings, but at the end of the day, they are like. It's kind of them against the world. Like, they all band together.
Oh, yeah, for real.
And
when shit hits fan, they got each other. It's
I think that's why E.T. has, like, resonated for so many people and for so long. Because, like, it's not just, like, an alien story. It is also, like, this family story.
Yeah.
That's a
fantastic point.
Must be nice.
So, okay. At this point in the film, as we've just noted, the family dynamic's being introduced. So, the middle brother, so that's Elliot, he's... you know, trying to become a part of the, you know, D&D campaign. And then, long story short, the brothers and friends like, all right, just go get the pizza, and then when you come back, you can join the campaign. It's like, sweet, cool. So this is one of those instances, I mentioned it before in another podcast, talking about a film in the 80s, but at this moment, Elliot is out grabbing a pizza from the, you know, delivery guy and rolls back to the house. And I was like, huh. It's like treated like so cash, like back in the day. Like in the 80s, you're just like, all right, I don't know.
There's actually kind of a lot treated super casual.
Yeah,
and
it was one of those things that made me go like,
"We need to go back."
It's kind of a lost era.
We need to go back. Pre-internet era, man. Social media, maybe is more specifically era, man.
It was crazy. I'm just like, what the fuck?
There's an element to this movie of like the kids being left home alone, like, by themselves. Oh, Shannon's
We just watched Idiocracy.
Oh, shit.
It just makes me kind of laugh because it's like, yes, times were like so simple back then, and I feel like we're just all stupid now.
I mean, kind of, yeah.
Things are just the extreme. And
but it's I guess, like, this movie, it's just so, the kids, like, staying by themselves at home when they're young. I don't know how old Elliot is. Is it so?
Well, that was something that I said to Oliver. I was like, that would be frowned upon now.
It would be taboo, for sure.
A bit, yeah. Elliot home alone. Like, he's at that age where he's now, in today's age, is probably a little too young to leave home alone. I mean, there's even a time where she leaves
Gertie
home alone.
But it was like, I'm going to be gone for like 10 minutes. Like, please stay.
But still, that would get CPS called on you nowadays.
Well, certainly if people knew about it, it would be taboo, right?
Right.
But then the other part of it, too, is like, I guess, like, it just feels like because there's no cell phones, there's no social media, there's no internet at the time when this movie is, like, taking place.
Oh, yeah.
There's, like, this sense of just, like, adventure. I don't know. Like, the kids, for example, they, like, jump on their bikes and they just, like, leave.
They just
and
go.
Just, like, they just fuck off. And, like, the mom has no idea where they're
at. Dude, you literally can just fuck off and they're like, be gone for, like, a whole day.
We used to do.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, meet me at the park at 8 or what. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
for real. Yeah, yeah.
And they just are, like, everyone's, like, riding around on their bikes. And it's, I don't know, it's just different.
No wonder motherfuckers got away with some crazy, stupid shit, because they literally just, like, then didn't have, like, tracking and shit, so.
Yeah, and there's no way to, like, instantly message your friends either, so it's like, oh, meet me here at this time at this place.
Dude,
and, like,
there's even one point in the film where the mom, like, this is, like, a jump ahead. There's, like, a Halloween, like, you know, trick-or-treating, and the mom's like, all right, get back here by sundown, and Elliot's gone for, like, a day, and she has to call the cops, be like, I know where my son is, oh, Lord, and then he pops the fuck up, it's like, hey, mom, and you're like, oh, shit, this my boy.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, that shit is like, ooh. Maybe it's because way too many of those instances happen that you're like, you know what? Tracking your kids.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't say that, like, today's day and age is a more dangerous time than it used to be. But I would say we are way more conscious of the danger than, like, we maybe used to be, from my perception.
Yeah, we're kind of like,
but anyways, he's getting the pizza. I got derailed.
Yeah, no worries. Grabs pizza, hops on back, and then he hears some shit happening in the front yard-ish area next to the shed.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm already derailing you again.
God damn!
Taylor can't get anything out.
No.
Watching
the movie this time around, also, it dawned on me how crazy their house setup is and how crazy
their
lot is.
Dude, that driveway!
But not only that, their house has this weird setup where the closet is shared between Gertie
and
Elliot's room.
Super cool.
And then they have this little
dining room area was cool.
And they have this
too.
Little, like, stained glass window. But not only that, they have, like, a little cornfield in the
backyard. I was like, what?
And a
the
shed,
fuck?
And they're in California. And I'm like, what?
They're,
the
like, on the edge
is...
of, like, California and Nevada. I'm like, what the fuck
there,
is this?
There's definitely not Nevada.
Oh, they're in the corner of, like, on the border of, like, what was it? California and Nevada. So. When he was, Elliot was showing.
I looked up where the actual house is.
Oh.
Anyways, the point that, like, I'm making is, like, there's a cornfield in their backyard, but they're definitely in California. This time it dawned on me. In the past, whenever I, like, watch, especially the cornfield's relevant in this opening scene you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, the first time I watch it, it just, like, made total sense to me. But now when I watch it, I'm like,
what? Who the fuck has, like, a cornfield that close?
There's, like, mountains and there's, like, a red.
It's a video game map. It totally makes sense.
Yeah.
There's a couple things in this movie that just, like, don't make sense.
I wouldn't
don't
say
work,
that.
And it's fine.
I wouldn't say that it doesn't work, at least for me. But I would say,
I'm sorry, but astronauts with their full on spacesuits
into
a house.
Thank you. That made
no fucking sense.
Very true.
I was like, okay,
no
a hazmat
sense.
Suit totally
hazmat
makes sense.
Hazmat suit quarantining the house.
That makes
like
sense.
That makes
Why
sense?
Are you putting on a spacesuit?
We're way ahead. We're way ahead.
Sorry.
We're way ahead.
Yeah, I'm just pointing out
that
there are
probably,
some
that's
things
a fair point.
That
that's
don't
probably.
Make sense. And there was a couple other things that happened. I can't remember exactly what they were, but I'm like, doesn't quite make that much sense.
Oh, shit. Is
the
sense unraveling? Is this the start? Oh, no.
I don't think so.
No, I mean,
so.
It's fine. Like, it works for me with the movie.
I don't think it's game breaking.
No,
that's
fair. That's fair.
Anyways, Taylor, sorry.
No, it's good.
Grabs a pizza, turns back around.
Climbs up this insane, like, sloped driveway that, thank goodness, in Cali, or else if they were anywhere up north, that shit would not work. Like, fuck that.
Yeah.
Reminds me of a lot of the fucking houses in, like, Eagle River or Hillside. It's like, that shit, oof, I don't know how folks managed with that. Woo! Perks to you guys. So he goes up, and here's something in shit. Now, one thing I'm going to note, The shot itself where he's walking and he's in the middle of the front yard looking at the shed with the moon in the background, that's a cinematic shot. Yeah. That's like
There's a lot of really good cinematic shots.
Yeah.
The shot you're describing has like this suit, the shed.
So passionate.
He's
like yelling at us.
No. Well, I don't know. I guess I get like a little bit more excited about it when it's like a kid's movie that is
given
that,
such cinematic treatment.
Yeah. And given like a serious treatment, and it is. E.T. is a movie for like everybody.
Oh, is that one of the reasons why it's so, one of the reasons why it's so acclaimed is because it's given such a touch of like mastercraft, like filmmaking.
I mean, I think there's a lot of reasons, but I just think it's you, if you said that, like E.T. is like, I don't know, E.T. is a kid's movie and an adult's movie. I could watch this by myself. I could watch this as a kid. I could watch this with my kids. Like I just think that's
when I come home and Oliver's watching it by himself.
It falls into the same kind of category for me as like Toy Story, where it's like a movie that kind of caters to everybody, but doesn't sabotage itself in doing so.
Yeah.
And so anyways, the shot you're describing is really cool. The shed has like this really bright light coming out of it. And it's kind of like almost like entrancing Elliot to like go into it. It's almost otherworldly. Super cool shot.
Yeah, yeah.
There's like this low fog hanging over.
Yes. It's very atmospheric.
Cornfield.
A cornfield. That's a dead cornfield in the backyard for some reason.
What the fuck is up with that cornfield? Yeah. So Elliot's like puts the pizza down, and I don't know why that entire shot is like that pizza's gonna get fucked up. I just knew that pizza's gonna get fucked up. Yeah. He's gonna get blamed for it. It's gonna be sad. I'm so sorry for this kid. I can just tell. So he puts the pizza down, and he's like staring into the shed. And as you mentioned, it has this enticing light to it. So he takes the baseball, because he was carrying a baseball glove with the baseball like the entire time. And he like kind of like rolls it or chucks it into the shed, and something rolls it back. Yeah. He's like, ah, fuck! So he runs back inside. And at this point,
which is a totally all, like, I was like, yeah, me too, dude.
If I threw
a bit like a ball into like, I heard this like crazy noise come out of a shed or a doorway.
Yeah, yeah.
And I threw a ball, and then the ball like after a pause rolled back out to me. I'd be like, no, fuck this. And I would be taking off too.
So he runs back, and his mom is now in the picture. She's in the kitchen right now, and God damn it. Sorry, I had to make the joke, but so. Pops back, and she's talking with the, you know, kids, just, you know, hey, what are you playing? D&D. And next thing you know, Elliot pops in. He's like, holy shit, I saw something outside. Or, something's outside.
Yeah.
Guys, something's outside. And he's like, oh, okay. Yeah, we totally believe you. And it's like, guys, come on. And he's like trying to get his mom to go outside. It's like, the boy's like, you know what? Let's go check this out. So they grab the
weapons. They're all like making fun of him, and
But then they grab like knives and
they grab everything.
Don't worry, mom. We got this. Yeah. It's but they're all like they're taking the piss out of it. They don't think it's real.
Yeah, they don't think it's real. But as soon as they pop out, they are checking things out, and they see, you know, what is Elliot's brother's name?
Janin. She's got the name pulled up. But yeah, they go out there, and there's nothing except for
Michael. Michael, yes. And this weird prints.
There's weird prints, and the shed's been kind of tossed up a little bit.
Exactly. And Michael's like, ah, shit, we might have coyotes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And that's at that moment.
Yeah, what kind of coyotes have footprints like that, though?
I don't know.
But yeah, they basically are like, and Elliot's like, why won't anybody believe me? All of a sudden, he's like othered by everybody because no one will believe him.
Exactly. And this is another instance of him being like outcast, so isolated. And that's just reemphasizing his experience. He's like, man, shit.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's around this time, too, or maybe it's the next night. I guess it might be the next night. But it's around this time, too, that you learn that Elliot's mom is recently separated from his dad.
Yeah.
It's actually another like kind of like maybe not cute scene, but it's like a somewhat like heartfelt scene or feels very real scene where
that's what you said.
They're like talking about it and basically like they're talking like, oh, where like why can't your dad take you or whatever it is? And like, oh well, he's in Mexico with Sally. And that's the first time you kind of hear it.
Yep.
And then you also see the mom. She like kind of steps away, and the mom is clearly still like emotionally.
Also, Drew Barrymore's little 4-year-old self calls her big brother "penis breath."
Wait, no, that was Elliot.
That was Elliot to
Michael. Elliot to Michael. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm positive. Yeah, Elliot calls Michael "penis breath."
What did Gertie say then? Gertie said something too that I was like.
No, I think she might repeat it, but.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I just thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah.
Also, the acting from the children in this movie is really, really good.
It's pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, actually. We always talk about like children actors and how they can really, really suck, but when they're good.
Have you had like this like recent trend of like pretty damn consistent like child actors?
I think the movies that we've been watching have had
good
child acting. But anyways,
there is proof that child actors actually know what the fuck they're doing.
Some, yeah.
Some do, yes.
I mean, Drew Barrymore is literally, like, emotional and crying in this at one point.
And she was, like, what? Like,
she's also just, like, adorable.
Also,
she's just,
her
like,
little
super...
scream is, like, so
that
real
is
and...
one of the most, like, played clips from, like, any kid's movie ever. Yeah. And that's Drew Barrymore, like, reacting to seeing E.T. for the first time.
Yeah, she was a really cute kid. It's weird to say because she's, like, 40 or
something. But it also is,
like,
it also is
now,
kind of
or...
the start. It starts with Elliot, but 50. It's also kind of the start to the theme of, like, these kids not like having to keep a secret, although that is what it is,
yeah,
but more so like not being taken seriously by adults. Like, it's kind of a theme that like keeps happening. One of my favorite scenes is when I'm flashing forward and maybe we can keep breaking down the story, but it's a scene where, man, I guess spoiler, E.T. is like walking around the house and Elliot's mom is just like putting groceries away, and E.T. is like actively walking around her, and she just like does not notice. And Gertie's like, "No, he's right here. He's he's right here, mom. The moon man, like right here." And like the mom is just like, "Yeah, okay, Gertie. Okay."
And now you
like,
just killed him.
Yeah, I love how Gertie was supposed to like keep the secret, and the first chance she gets, she's like, "The moon man.
Yeah,
it's
the moon man."
And it's just like that perfect moment of just like coincidental circumstance where it's just like, "Well, he was right here this whole time, but apparently you never saw him."
It's just a really funny scene, but yeah, anyways, so
no, it's absolutely priceless. Yeah, and I'm wondering if, because that was actually kind of a consistent, I would say, thematic element during like the 80s, even 90s, where it was like the kids had this crazy experience happen, but no one would believe them until like near the end,
like the Goonies, and
prime example. Yeah. So it's just like, what the fuck? And it's just like,
it's those adventure movies, they're just a ton of fun.
That's true. So at this point, Elliot's like trying to figure out, okay, did I actually see something in there, or like I need to figure this out. So this bit is a bit fuzzy, but might be jump cutting like a scene or two. After the dinner scene, and he's basically being, you know, no one's believing him, he's looking out and he's like, okay, you know what, I got a plan. So he stays outside. And, you know, he's in the lawn chair, wrapped up in a blanket. Just
before he does that,
there was a scene.
Yeah, but that part was a little fuzzy for me, too. But I'm pretty sure before that, he takes his bike out with M&Ms or Skittles. Reese's Pieces.
Oh, yeah.
Reese's Pieces.
I couldn't just imagine the marketing for Reese's Pieces.
Yeah, and was going around, like, laying them around and couldn't find him. And then he goes out there at night, lays in the lawn chair. And then little
E.T.
comes out.
He does run in. He does run into E.T. in the cornfield, and then it like he goes out again and runs into him,
right,
and then he scares E.T.
right
up his like little
and
pathway
he makes that
up into
crazy
the mountain
noise.
Again. Yeah.
Yes.
And then
I don't even know what you would call that noise.
Shriek,
an alien noise. But yeah, so then he like he goes up on his bike, and when he's up there on his bike, he actually sees these men in this truck, like looking around the area. And so that's, again, another, like, instance of, like, okay, other people are actively searching for E.T. as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
And most of these scenes are actually, a lot of these scenes are kind of intercut with these guys, like, kind of looking around.
Showing that they're gradually
they
getting closer and closer.
Yeah. They're, like, narrowing down the search. But, yeah, he lays out Reese's Pieces, and then he he's laying in a lawn chair waiting to see if something happens, and then E.T., like, starts like put his little hand out and grab the Reese's Pieces and crunch them.
His hand is so creepy looking.
But he before that he comes up and he like walks up slowly to Elliot, who's in the chair and like just mortified, trying to call for his mom but can't. He's like horrified and scared.
He's trying to call. Yeah.
And then
yeah.
E.T. comes up and like pours all the Reese's Pieces into his lap, which is like, again, just a really, again, it's just kind of like E.T. can't talk at this point. And just shows his. Like him as a character.
Yeah,
like,
it shows like how peaceful he is.
Yeah,
he's just like, dude, I'm just here.
You left these behind and I'm giving them back to you. Like,
now, at this point in the film, I recognize there must have been a mixture of both, not just regular puppeteering, but also maybe an actual person.
There was a person.
Yeah, in order to do the articulation at that point, because I'm like, there's no way they had the technology to make that shit work with just puppeteering.
Yeah. No, it's I think it's a lot of it is mostly a person in a suit. I think there's puppeteering too.
It's not. I was gonna say it's pretty obvious that it's somebody in a suit. It's not that obvious, but I was looking at that too. I was like, how are they doing this? Is it animatronics? Is it puppeteering? Is it somebody in a suit? And it was clear to me that it was somebody in a suit, just based on when he's like walking and everything.
Yeah, which I'm trying to. Yeah, I think I might have seen some clips of behind the scenes some time ago that explained it.
A child in the suit. I'm pretty positive.
Jesus,
it had to have been.
Pretty positive. Or it was a child in the suit. But yeah, so he ends up leading E.T. into his house, up the stairs, and into his room,
mm-hmm.
and then like really in this scene, and again, it's a really famous scene, and it's. I think really cute and endearing where like Elliot is trying to like get to know E.T. and like teach him things.
Yeah.
And then the next morning when he wakes up, he pretends he's sick.
But I want to circle back to that when he's like trying to teach E.T. things.
Yeah.
He's just like such a child.
Well, he does that the next morning. The next morning so is much. When he like goes just like fire.
Oh, is that when
him.
He's yeah, like, and this is the fish and this is the shark and the and shark eat the fish and then there's my toy and then you
and
can
this
play
is Greedo
war
and this is
with
Boba
him.
Fett and this is these are my toys and then they fight and they can die and
which
yeah.
is really
this
cool
is a
that
peanut and we eat peanuts but we won't eat this peanut because you put money in this one.
Yeah, it's just yeah.
the
such
most
a child.
Kid approach ever. Yeah. And I thought it was fascinating that there was this great emphasis throughout the film of homages to Star Wars. And
oh, well, I was waiting till we got to this. We was waiting till we got into it. But a little fun fact for anybody listening: this movie. Actually, should I even say it yet, or should I wait?
Wait until that. I think I know what scene you're talking about. Yeah,
okay.
yeah. Wait until that scene.
I will
yeah.
wait. I will not forget.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
anyways, yeah. So he's teaching him, and he's teaching
wait,
him all
now
these.
I'm curious.
I will. I'll get you. I will.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
Forget,
we'll get
I
to it.
You.
Yes, yes, yes.
He's like teaching him all these things, trying to, and E.T.'s like kind of like. Zoning out as he's teaching them. And mind you, this is after Elliot pretends that he's sick. He puts like his thermometer in the lamp to show his mom.
Which I bet that inspired
a
lot of kids.
Did you ever do that as a kid?
No. But I bet that inspired a lot of kids to be like,
huh, yeah.
We'll try that.
You're telling me what?
I totally did that as a kid.
Oh, for real?
I always had digital thermometers. So huh? I always had digital ones. So
oh, fair.
For me.
Oh.
Did it actually work for you?
A little readout
yeah.
on it.
Well, oh, and I would do it on a straightener too, like a hair straightener.
That's
I'd go in the bathroom.
But anyway, so he's staying home sick
Sorry,
from
Mom.
School. He's staying home sick from school. His mom's
She's
leaving
like,
him. And he's trying to teach E.T. all these different things. And he comes to find out that, like, oh, E.T.'s hungry. You must be hungry.
Yes.
And so he goes and he makes E.T. like sandwiches. And
the most random conglomerate of yeah. holy crap
yeah.
ever.
You want a Coke? Yeah. So he, like, feeds E.T. And then, yeah, it's kind of the start of their connection together.
Yeah. And at this point... I think Michael soon after is coming home from school.
Yeah.
And Elliot's like, all right, I got to show something to you.
You got
to
swear on your life. You got to swear on everybody's
Swear
life.
To me. Yes. I don't know why it just made me bad. I'm like, swear to me.
No, he says it in a different way. I can't remember what his wording is.
Yep. Close your eyes.
You have to keep, or can you swear that you can keep the biggest, it's not the biggest.
Biggest seat, promise.
Biggest promise.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
think that's
is
what it?
It
is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I just remember it being like a very weird way of saying it. I was like, oh, this must be like a little brother and sister thing because he also says it to Gertie as well.
Yes.
And then he reveals E.T. to Michael.
Yeah. And wasn't that also that same instance that Gertie just busts through and she's like, oh, right, shit! Yeah. And she's like, well, she doesn't say that. But in her mind, that's basically what she was like thinking. Like, ah, oh, God, it's like, what the hell is this thing? And both her and E.T. scream, and Mike's like, oh, crap. But then Mom pops up, and you're like, oh, crap. So I think it was this point, Michael and Gertie hide in the closet, and E.T., I don't know how the hell they had E.T. I think it was in the closet, too.
Yeah,
and
because Gertie was staring
straight at
him.
Him. Yeah,
Michael's
yeah, yeah.
like holding her mouth.
Exactly, and Elliot's like, oh, hey. It's like, Mom's like, what the hell are you doing? What happened to your shelf? It's like,
yeah.
I'm reorganizing. I'm like, in fact, this kid came up with that.
And what does the mom say? She says something really funny at this point too. She's like, she like walks in and she's looking around, she's like, this, you're not reorganizing, this is an accident or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, he's acting all suspicious, and then she leaves, and yeah, Michael
yeah.
and Gertie are now have now met E.T.
Yeah, exactly. And it was like, what the
I think hell? It's this night that E.T. ends up showing that he can interact with the environment in a different way. And he ends
yes.
up levitating these planets and showing
where
that,
he's from.
Yeah, where he's from. He's not from Earth, obviously.
Yeah, exactly, exactly, yeah. And this is also where you can see Michael having this switch instantly because he's, first off, like, shocked entirely about like interact, like seeing this creature. But then that realization, like, oh shit, my brother was right this whole fucking time. Ah, fuck. And there's a couple of shots in this film where it shows Michael being more like reflect above that. And this this one in particular, this mini jump ahead, where after Elliot and Michael are going to the school bus and stuff, and Michael's friends are teasing Elliot, he's on the bus just like while everyone else is like losing their damn minds in the school bus, which part of me is like, how often did this happen in school buses? Yeah, what the fuck? But he's just like sitting there quiet. It's like, what the fuck? Because he's seen some shit.
It's funny that you said that because Oliver never took a bus to school.
Oh.
And so when he was watching that, he's like, see, I missed out on this as a kid. I was like, this did not happen. Maybe you had one kid maybe throw something. But
Maybe in the 80s.
But this is also, I think, in the scene where E.T. is like levitating all the planets and they drop, I think it's the first, one of the first instances that you start to realize that there's something more going on between Elliot and E.T., that they're connected in some way.
Yeah, I did not expect that while watching this film. And then when I realized
does
how extensive
it really
this was.
Does it really show that in this scene?
I don't remember. There's, oh no, it's not this scene. It's when
later.
Elliot is, no, it's before, no. It's before he introduces Michael and Gertie to E.T. He's downstairs getting E.T. food and E.T. opens the umbrella. And it scares E.T. and it also scares Michael.
Yep.
Or not Michael, sorry, Elliot.
You're right.
Yeah. And so that's the first time you're like, oh, there's something weird here.
Yeah, so that's when I started realizing, oh, yeah, I totally forgot this was a thing. So I remember years ago, there was this kind of like, I forgot where it was, but it was kind of this like spoof thing, might have been Robot Chicken, where it was like an alien versus alien type of situation.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like showcasing E.T.'s powers, and this was before I even saw the film. It's like, what the fuck is this? So as I've been watching this film and paying attention to what E.T. can do, I'm just like, yo, this dude is fucking OP. He's kind of OP. He has
healing
telekinesis.
Powers.
Yeah, he has healing powers, telekinesis, basically telepathy, and
the ability to learn. He's a genius too.
Yeah, I'm just like, and he's great with plants. So yeah. It's like, what the fuck? What? Fuck it, he's an alien.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Yeah,
so yeah. And so, oh, go ahead.
If real aliens are like E.T., then I wouldn't mind them coming to Earth.
Yo, okay, so another, like, mini jump ahead. After watching this film, I have sat back, like, of all the sci-fi scenarios that I've ever seen where it's always like, shit's gonna fall apart. We're fucked. This has been the most positive outlook of an alien visit I've ever fucking seen.
Yeah.
It's like, dude just pops down, grabs some plants, and fucks off. I'm just like, you know what? That'd be great. That'd be a fantastic way to have an alien encounter.
He just wants to go back home.
Exactly.
He just wants to go
They're just
home.
Fucking gardeners,
which I
man.
Feel like other sci-fi movies have shown that in a way. Maybe not as
this is
emotional as this, but like, this is all foreign to them too.
You know
they
what
just, they want to go back to their safe spot.
You know what I just realized? You remember District 9?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like District 9 is the more like hardcore sci-fi version of this.
We're not letting you go home.
Exactly.
We're going to use your technology against you, brother.
Exactly. Yeah, that's basically what it was.
Dude, for real. That was basically
brutal.
Dude, that was brutal. Like, they want to go home. Yeah.
You ain't going home. We're staying here. We're going to use your technology for guns and necks.
That's District 9.
Dude, that is.
That is straight up District
9. That is straight up District 9. It's fucking crazy, dude.
Anyways, back to the movie. The next day, Elliot goes to school.
This is an acid trip.
Elliot goes to school, and
yeah.
E.T. is left
I
home
love
alone.
This whole
scene. Oh, yeah, this
sequence
is
really good.
It's crazy.
And so E.T. is home with Gertie, and I guess actually technically it's before Gertie gets home.
Yeah.
But E.T. is home alone.
With the doggo.
Yeah, with the dog. And he's just like, he's hungry, and so he's like going through the fridge. He like sticks his tongue in the potato salad and like, blah. Throws it aside.
Like, damn. What
and then he finds the beer,
salad.
The Coors Banquet, and he starts drinking the beer, and he's watching. He like
douses that shit.
He
man.
Turns the TV on, and he's like freaked out by it at first. Then he's watching TV, and he's playing with like the, what are they called? The little like letter things. They have a name. Where you type in the letter.
Totally
and,
I don't remember the name for it.
Yeah. And he's like playing with these things, and he's starting to get drunk because he keeps drinking the beer. And then it cuts to Elliot, who's at school, and he's, like, getting drunk, too. And the whole, like, parallel between them is hilarious. Elliot is, like, dissecting frogs in his science class. ends up setting them all free. And
it was at this moment that made me realize that I never knew this about E.T., but the fact that the alien had a connection with the kid, like, telepathically, and that whatever the alien was feeling, the kid was feeling, I was like, okay, I get it, kids movie, that's great. But my mind as, like, a grown-up is like, and also seeing sci-fi is like, oh, shit, how drastically bad that could go.
Yeah,
and
it does.
In so many ways.
And it does.
Yeah.
It does.
But and the kid-friendly version, yes.
Yeah. But so Gertie comes home, and, you know, there's the whole debacle with E.T. running around her mom, and she's trying to show her mom E.T. and all this stuff. But essentially what comes out of the scene is E.T. can talk. He's, like, was watching Sesame Street, and he can talk. He's, like, behind the TV, and he's
actually works.
Yeah. And eventually Elliot also comes home, and so does Michael. And they both learn that E.T. can talk. And not only can he talk, he's learning super quick.
Well, Elliot comes home and goes upstairs, and Gertie has E.T. dressed up as, like, in a wig with a hat and a dress.
And now Mac Elliot's like, oh, hell no. This is happening here. What the hell?
Elliot. Just saying his name. And yeah.
And then he's like, wait a second. He can talk.
Yeah. And so he can talk. And this is also where the really famous E.T. phone home scene comes from. So they determine that E.T., it wants to go home, and he's a phone his home specifically. So they start bringing in all this different, like, equipment
tech
or tech
materials,
and
E.T.
starts to assemble, like, I guess a phone that he can
use. Apparently, he's a master engineer, can make that shit work out of nowhere.
He's an alien, he's smart.
And so he makes this thing, and they decide that they are going to execute this on Halloween.
Yep.
And their plan is basically E.T. is going to wear, like, this ghost costume in replacement of Gertie, and they're going to, I guess, go out on the town, and E.T. and Elliot will go set up the phone out in the woods.
And then they'll swap out Gertie when they get back to
Yeah, exactly. And I can just tell you, the whole ghost cutout thing, eyes on the tablecloth, you know, you always think about it, and you're like, oh, it's a super easy costume, but actually seeing out of that is a bitch. I did it as, like, a little kid. You can't see anything because you got two little eye holes.
You actually did, like,
around
the Charlie Brown for your, like
one year as a little kid. Yeah, but
as we were sitting here talking about, I was like, maybe that's just what we'll do because Oliver's so indecisive about Halloween costumes.
Maybe, but
just be ghosts.
They're out.
Have a couple white.
They're
sheets.
Out walking around in the, like, as the sun is setting in California in the warmth in their costumes, which is something that I will never experience because I live in Alaska in
God
the cold.
Damn,
do trick or treat in the heat.
Yeah, it's not Halloween. Anyways, and they're walking out, and this is the scene that I've been waiting for because they're walking down, and E.T. sees someone dressed up as Yoda.
Oh my gosh, yes. I told Oliver, I was like, 1,000% when we have kids, I'm forcing them to be Yoda. It's a perfect costume for a child.
Okay, that's not where I was going with this. But
Lord. It's so cute, and you can, like, only a little kid can do it.
But, okay, yeah, sure. Yeah.
I'm forcing them. Okay. And
Jesus.
Forcing my kid to be Chucky one year. I've already got their costumes lined out.
You don't get any autonomy, child.
Yeah, I was about to say, damn.
Dress up whatever your mom wants.
I'll lay out Yoda and Chucky, and I'll, like, pick between one of them. And then the next year, you wear the other.
Oh, my God. Anyways, so he sees this kid dressed up as Yoda, and it's a really cute callback because John Williams also did the score for Star Wars. So the E.T. score kind of, like, turns into the Star Wars score for just, like, a few notes as he's walking as he's walking by. And then E.T. sees this kid, this person that's dressed up as Yoda. He's like, home, and starts, like, trying to follow the guy down the street.
Yep.
And, like, no, it's not home. But what I was going to say about this earlier, and I've been waiting, is that everybody watched this scene, and this was after Star Wars episode 4, 5, and 6 had come out, but not 1, 2, and 3. And everybody watched the scene and was like, oh my gosh, it's a shared universe. Like, E.T. is in the Star Wars universe. And for the longest time, there was no confirmation of anything. But after this movie came out, episode 1 and episode 2 and 3 came out of Star Wars. And it is confirmed that E.T. is in the Star Wars universe. His species is.
Oh, damn.
In the Senate chamber, in episode 1 or 2.
Oh,
if you look in the background, you can see E.T.'s species in the Senate chamber.
Oh, shit.
On Coruscant.
No,
100%, look it up. You can look it up right now. I am not wrong.
So
look
that's...
up E.T. species in Star Wars, and 100%.
So that
and
makes...
so they confirmed it after the fact because Steven Spielberg and George Lucas obviously worked on Star Wars together. So
which is epic.
Yeah. So shared universe. E.T. species is in Star Wars. Confirmed.
So that begs the question, okay, so chronologically and also and from their standpoint, where Star Wars the fuck is all this happening?
Star Wars is in a galaxy... A long time ago in a galaxy,
galaxy far, far away.
So,
oh, okay. Yeah. That's fair.
Shannon's looking up right now to keep me honest, but I am not wrong. They are in the background, and you can see them in the Senate chambers on Coruscant during one of the scenes.
There you go.
Anyways, so Elliot breaks off with E.T.
Mm-hmm.
This is where the first flying scene on the bicycle happens.
Yes.
The famous scene.
The famous scene.
Actually, where the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer logo comes from. And... they end up setting up his little, like, phone thing.
Basically radar.
Yep.
He's sending out a radio signal.
Which actually kind of works in, like, a fun way. When the breeze hits, like, a tree, it triggers, like, a fork to spin, like, a razor blade around.
It's actually a pretty cool way of using, like, natural elements in order to, like, power this up.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Yep.
That's pretty pip.
Shannon's still zoning out, looking at images on Google or something like that.
Is Google's buffering?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
It is. Oh. It's a fact. I've seen it in the movie.
Where are they?
I'll show you later. And anybody listening, you can look it up as well, because it is true.
It does say what kind of species they are.
What are they?
An Asagonian or something, or Asagans.
Cool. It's not like you were just reading it, and you couldn't just tell us exactly what it said. Okay.
Congratulations,
well,
I like to introduce the Senate Ass Games.
Yeah, this is the Ass Games.
Oh, gosh.
But they make the radar. It's working. And then Elliot wakes up the next morning, ends up drifting to sleep, wakes up the next morning. E.T.'s gone.
Yeah.
And again, it's another like just really good visual storytelling element of the movie, because he wakes up and he's in this like deep fog that eventually moves off the mountain that he's on. And the way that it's lit and everything just kind of feels colder, you just kind of immediately know like something is not right. Like something doesn't feel right about the scene before you actually see anything has occurred. Like, I don't know how to describe it, but when you see that transition, it goes from this like happy scene, oh my gosh, E.T., it's working. And it's like a good scene, to then when it cuts to him waking up and the way it's lit and the way it's shot and kind of the sound of it, you kind of immediately know, like, hang on, something's like,
yeah,
not,
something's off here.
Something's not right.
Yeah.
Again, just really brilliant filmmaking from Steven Spielberg.
Mm-hmm.
But Elliot looks for E.T., can't find him.
Yep.
And then goes back home and he's like shivering and sick.
Yeah. And so Michael at this point, Elliot asks Michael, like, yo, we gotta go find him. He's like, all right. And so this is when Michael, like, fucking grabs his bike and starts hauling ass and
just
trying
a super
to...
good brother.
Yeah, exactly. That was that instance, like, okay, there's normally the trope, like, one of the siblings or like maybe the older siblings like kind of a douche. No, as soon as this whole situation goes down, Michael like kicks into gear and he's like, I got you, bro. I got you, sis. I got the fam type of deal. Yeah. So he's walking and rolling and he sees the radar dish. He's like, all right. He sees the sheet that was used for E.T. He's like, okay. So he starts trying to figure this out.
The scene is so sad.
Yeah, no.
It traumatized me as a child.
Oh, facts. So Michael finds E.T., but E.T.'s, like, sickly and, like...
He finds, essentially, E.T.'s dead body in the river. That's, like, very much what it looks like when
he
shows
and
up.
A part of me's like, okay, what the fuck is happening here? Because there was indication, even, like, a few scenes back that, Michael even said, like, hey, yeah, E.T. doesn't look good. And Elliot's like, no, he's fine! And he's like, okay.
Well, kind of an interesting...
I think it's just him being away from home.
That's why I was wondering, too.
Yeah, I don't think he's meant to be on Earth.
It's just like if we were
to
go on a planet,
yeah,
we wouldn't be able to survive there.
Yeah.
But an interesting thing I noticed on this watch was how E.T., like, I don't really know how to describe it, really, but the way that he, like, his screeches are and the way that he, like, breathes sounds like he's... like sick. I don't know.
Like the air itself,
like,
on Earth.
He's
is,
like
kind of
like sniffling and like, I don't know, the way he breathes, it sounds like he's sick. So it like kind of makes sense that he is like, he's on Earth, but he can't be on Earth forever. He's not meant to be here.
Yeah. And what pops up next, I was actually legitimately surprised of how extensive a length they went in terms of like I can understand for kids, maybe like, damn, this is going pretty far.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this transitions into a pretty fascinating sequence. So the this basically the government at this point, they roll up, and that this actually a little bit before this point, before the government rolls up, there have been scenes interlaced, as we mentioned earlier, that they pop up throughout the various scenes in the film, and they're trying to track down E.T. And there's a point where there's a van driving down the neighborhood, paying attention to phone calls and conversations, and they narrow it down to E.T.'s house. And
at also, there's a scene where they're literally listening in to every single like person's conversation. House, which just seems like a crazy breach of privacy.
Oh, I bet you they do that.
Yeah, I mean,
you don't think they listen to us through our phones and stuff?
Hey, I mean, they're listening to our podcast. I'm kidding.
Yeah, they're literally driving down the street, like listening through people's houses, though.
It's, oh, they could totally do that if they wanted to.
I didn't say they couldn't do it if they wanted to. I'm just saying it's a major breach of privacy. But you were saying that you were surprised at what they were able to like show and get away with.
So that's how they're able to figure out that, oh, this is where E.T.'s house. So at this point, when they bring E.T. back, the mom pops up and she's confronting the kids, like, what's going on? And she discovers E.T. and
E.T. and Elliot are in the bathroom, both basically dead.
Yeah, it's like they're out. And the mom grabs the kids and says, we're getting the fuck out of here. And at the moment she's about to leave the house, they see the spaceman and like the actual dude in the spacesuit. Now, at this point, I'm like,
literally full on astronaut suits, like I was
this
saying.
Is the
earlier.
That made this is the only no thing sense. That I like. I do agree. Like, that, it doesn't make it made sense as a kid. It doesn't make sense as an adult.
No, it's and, just to like show you that it's
otherworldly or something like that. Yeah. And it's,
well, to and be, everyone it's to be else scary. Is in hazmat suits. Astronauts are not scary. Somebody in hazmat suit is scarier
the way
than
that
an
it
astronaut.
Is, the way that it's shot is scary. Like the way
well,
that it's
yes,
shot
yes, but
is
it would have been
be...
scarier if it was a hazmat suit, I feel like.
Yeah, but they're kind of like floating in the... I don't know. I'm not saying it's not unrealistic. It definitely is. And I definitely agree that like when I watched it now, I was like, oh, that is
kind of
weird.
Yeah.
But I don't think it ruins the movie. I don't think it...
I guess
they're just like trying to kidnap, like... pull her out of her house. They're like coming from all
coming through
angles,
the
coming through
makes,
the windows,
think,
the doors.
I think what it does, I think with the whole...
The astronauts wouldn't be doing that. Even if they wanted to be in astronaut suits, they wouldn't be the ones going in there and like grabbing her out of the window.
I think the whole point is it makes them feel like inhuman. It makes them feel like monsters.
Why are they making the astronauts the bad guy?
They're
the
not
astronauts
actually
are...
astronauts. They're not.
Well, maybe
astronauts.
The idea, like in movie logic, is that we have no idea what they've been exposed to. X, Y, Z.
Well, that is
the space
what it
suits
is.
Is
they
like,
quarantine the entire.
Yeah,
house.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
they
the
eventually
whole house
quarantine
is in a
it,
bubble,
yeah.
basically.
Hazmat.
Yes, that is what the astronaut suits.
Not astronaut suits.
That's fair.
Yes, that's you are correct.
Yeah. So, at this point, we see the house is basically being quarantined, and the government's, like, set up this lab station inside, and you're following the key jangling man, and he doesn't...
You finally get to see his face.
Yeah, you finally get to see his face. Yeah, he doesn't have a name. Actually, no. Does he have a name?
Probably. I don't know what it is. I don't think he... I don't know if he introduces himself. I can't remember.
Yeah, that's a fair point. He's just key jangler. And he rolls up, and you still hear the keys jangling even through his hazmat suit. I'm like, what the fuck? That's just his signal. And... he pops up, and Elliot is on a gurney next to E.T., and they're trying to take care of the kid while also take care of E.T. They're trying to, like, basically do medical intervention. And they identify that they have a synchronicity. Their brain waves are connected. And they're like, what the fuck is going on here? So the key jangling guy actually talks to Elliot and mentions to him that, oh, hey, you know, like, this has kind of been... like, what's going on here? And he's trying to understand the situation from the kid's perspective. And he even mentions there's a line in there saying that, oh, yeah, I've been dreaming of this moment since I was 10. So at that moment, it made me think, is this kind of like this weird parallel? Like, this is like a grown-up version of Elliot and like a weird... like
I didn't really understand that part of the movie.
Yeah, because I was trying to see, like, he's not
he's,
a bad guy.
Unless he's just seen them before.
Maybe.
Well,
or,
I kind of got the vibe that, like, it was taking the mask off of, like, this monster, basically.
Exactly.
Like, it was, like, humanizing this person where he
not
was,
just
like,
him, but almost everybody in the room, at least at that moment. Till...
they're not trying to be bad people. They just are, like, I don't know, they're doing what they think is right.
Exactly. Yeah. So, At this point, Elliot explains to him, like, the gist of, you know, it's like, hey, we're just trying to bring him home, and I don't know what the fuck's wrong with him. He's dying. And as this is happening, E.T. is basically fading away, and so Elliot's health is coming back to life, but E.T. is just, like, fading rapidly.
Yeah.
And it's at this point where, you know, E.T. passes on.
He dies.
Yeah, he straight up dies. And it's pretty sad. And I was like, wow. Yeah. Like, I'm imagining back, like, imagining if this is the 80s, you're in the theaters, you're watching this, like, sci-fi, like, you know, kid in the lab situation right next to, like, an alien. I'm just like, wow, they kind of went far on this one. All right, cool. Did not expect that.
Yeah, they straight up kill E.T.
Yeah, I know. I was just like, damn. So, I was at this point, I'm like, okay, well, he has to come back to life, because I know this is ending scene where he goes back. So I'm like, how the fuck did he come back to life? Exactly. So, after a while, there's a point where they clean up the house, and she's like, all right, the aliens passed away. We've done our job. And the key jangling guy comes up to the kids like, hey, you want to say goodbye? And he's like, sure. So Elliot's saying his final goodbyes. He's on his own. And turns out that his chest glows red, indicating that
E.T.'s alive.
Exactly. And his people are coming.
Yep.
And so E.T.'s like gradually resuscitating, and he's coming back, and he's like, yo, my people are coming back. And Elliot's trying to like calm him down, like shh, shh, shh. And so he devises a plan with his brother, Michael, who's nearby, in order to sneak E.T. out.
I also love the scene where he's like coming back to life.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He's like, home. He's just like talking. Elliot's like, shut up. And then he zips him up in the body bag and closes him.
And, like, and then he just like face cries like, oh, God, I'm so sad. Yeah. And I'm just like, nicely done, kid.
Yeah. And then Michael and Elliot steal the tube van that has like the tube that leads into the house.
That was hilarious when they just like straight up just like had the two guys like holding on.
There's two guys getting dragged behind the van. And there's another scene where this guy, like, Michael is like trying to like turn the van on. He like, it's shown earlier in the movie that he doesn't know how to drive really.
Nope, he can only go backwards.
And,
I never drove forwards before.
And this guy's like, who are you? And he's just like, I'm the driver or whatever. And like, okay, like, get out of the car.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. He's like,
get out of the car.
But it was actually really cool. Like, as soon as they're driving out, Michael stops, goes to his friends, like, hey, meet us at XYZ spot and bring the bikes. And he's like, bet. And they roll out and it's like, I love that. At that moment, his friends who were like downing him the whole time was like, we got you.
They're just the homies.
They're just the homies. Yeah. It's like, that's the way to go. So next up becomes one of the more, you know, I would say iconic scenes of the kids.
They're all
dodging the government.
Yeah, they're all running away from the cops and the government.
Yo, and those cops are swooping in hard. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You just have crowds of
people
like
riding their bikes away from the...
At one point, they bring out like shotguns and start aiming them.
At that moment, it's like, yo, guys, calm down.
Chill, it's kids.
Exactly. Chill. And then, better have like rocks on.
And then they all fly over the cops, the cop barricade.
And it was at that point, the cops like, you know what, fuck it. It's like, nah.
And, they all fly up there, and then the movie wraps up really quick.
Very quickly.
They land, and E.T.'s family lands, and E.T. goes home.
There's
a sad goodbye for everybody. Everyone gets to say goodbye. No one does anything about it, which, again, you could poke holes in that.
Yeah.
But everyone gets to say goodbye, and E.T. says he'll be right there in Elliot's heart.
Yeah. And then he just flies away.
Yep, he flies away, and he leaves a rainbow.
I can just imagine, like, if, like, the E.T. aliens were just, like, research scientists, and you're like, I told you so many goddamn times not to break protocol. This is why. This is the third time, Jeff.
E.T. just immediately gets put in jail.
You're off the team.
I mean, that's basically the end of the movie.
Yeah, that's the film. The basically just like closes out straight on his face. And he's like, oh, that's it.
I mean, we'll go through some of the questions that we have, but I really wanted to know Taylor's overall thought because it seemed
like
he has some
hesitation.
Also, we gave
no spoiler warning. We just blitzed through
the
entire...
But it's fucking E.T. Give me a break. I mean, we've already answered, is this movie for everybody? So I guess, hype? I mean, we weren't born when...
That's a question for Taylor. I can understand the nostalgic elements of the film, for sure. Yeah, I can understand its nostalgia.
Was it deserved?
Well, for an 80s film, I could totally get... I'm just going to say it right now.
Yeah,
this is going to be spite words. maybe because I've seen a lot of like medias like that were attuned for kids, that's also attuned for adults that are like fantastic. I can understand this being like one of the progenitors for it. It's like, I totally get why it stands out. Maybe with a second or third watching, I can understand even more. But right now, it's like, you know what? I get it. No, it's legit.
Okay.
It wasn't exactly like
a. I get a feeling I know like where the rest experience. Of these questions are going to go. question that we normally would ask would be like, would you buy this movie?
No, Taylor doesn't buy any movies.
Taylor would not.
We bought this movie for this podcast.
Yeah, see, like, the DVD case from there.
Yeah, and I like that we have it.
Yeah.
What else do we usually ask? I just feel like there's something about it that you didn't like.
Yeah, I feel like this is your. Well, let's get into ratings, and then from there, I guess we can go into a little bit more. But
I guess you guys should
go
first.
You go first, Oliver.
No, I think Shannon should go first.
You never go first. Go first.
So, I'm in between a, for me, first of all, let me say this. I'm
disclaimer.
I am 100% completely aware that my review and rating is absolutely blinded by nostalgia, absolutely blinded by just my own, like, complete bias.
That's not me analyzing
the movie as a first time view or whatever. It's just complete bias. I'm in between a 4.5 and a 5.
No, that's fair. I had a feeling that'd be the case. Yeah.
Well, I think you gotta give it something. I feel like if you're in between a 4.5 and a 5, though, you can't give it a 5.
Yeah.
That's like what
I can't
my
really think of a reason.
Tells
I can't really
me.
Think of a reason not to give it a 5.
Yeah.
But I guess for the sake of brevity.
Brevity.
I guess we'll just go 4.5.
That's fair. No, sir. No, that's very fair.
I guess 4.5. What about you, Shannon?
I think I'm in between a 4 and a 4.5.
That is fair.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's lower than I maybe would have expected.
Yeah, it's funny because, I mean, you talk about how this nostalgia definitely weighs heavy on your rating. And
I say soul.
Yeah, heavy on the soul.
I wasn't going to say soul. I don't know what I was going to say, but I wasn't going to say soul. But, I remember watching E.T. as a kid, but I don't think I had the same
connection to it.
Or visceral reaction that maybe Oliver did. So in a way, it almost was like rewatching it for me.
Yeah,
like
I
watch
use the
or
word
watch
visceral to be fair. But,
yeah. Watching it again for the first time.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
But I can definitely like there are problems with this movie, and not that it like
Space
ruins
Man.
The movies.
Moon Man.
But and I do feel like at times the pacing is a bit slow.
Really.
It's 2 hours long.
That's wild.
Yeah, and some of the things seem a bit
so four
like,
and a half
dragged
or four.
Out. I think probably a 4.
Damn,
interesting, crazy. All right, well, the man of the hour.
Yay!
Disappoint me, Taylor.
3.5.
Yeah, I guess that's fair.
See, it's not bad, right?
Yeah.
It's not bad.
I guess that's fair.
Yeah.
It's above average by about a few points.
I think.
What's wrong with it?
Yeah,
in your
you need to explain yourself.
Besides the spaceman.
The spaceman.
Space suits, the astronauts.
So, for a film that's pretty basic premise and pretty, like, everyone's plot, it is pretty cool of how they illustrate the dynamic between the children and everything, and it's pretty awesome, and the acting's pretty damn fantastic. The shot's cinematic, and there's multiple shots where they focus a lot on the silhouettes, especially in the first third of the film, that I thought was fascinating. So, the techniques, the choice of I would say design.
Steven Spielberg he's one of the greatest of all
time
at this
point. From a technical standpoint, it's fantastic. And I can recognize and respect its iconic nature. Does it have that resonance that carries over time?
Yes. Clearly, it was made in the 80s and it's still
literally everyone still talks about it.
No, and that's totally fair. And this could legit be a circumstance of not having grown up with it. It's like the equivalent of
I didn't even know it was made in the 80s. I thought it was an early 2000s movie.
Talk about timelessness. Yeah. I mean, I feel like this
which doesn't make sense because Drew Barrymore's in it.
Fair. She's just like
the same
aged
age
up
as me.
But this could be an instance where it's like, oh, I was a PlayStation kid and I didn't grow up with a Nintendo type of deal. Where it's like, I don't have that same connection with certain properties, so it doesn't have that same resonance with me.
Yeah.
So looking at it from a super like neutral perspective, not expecting anything up or down, it's like, oh, It's solid. It's good, but yeah, it doesn't have that like reference with me.
Yeah, I mean, I do get it. I think if you went lower than like a 3, I would have been shocked.
Hell no, no, I'm not gonna do that.
Fair. I do.
I'm not crazy. I'm slightly crazy, but I'm not that crazy.
Yeah, I do get what you're saying. I do get what you're saying. And like I said, with my rating, I'm completely aware that I'm blinded by nostalgia, and I just like I do really like I adore this movie. I look forward to like sharing this with my kids at some day. Like you know that. Oh,
that's sweet.
But I would have a hard time understanding if someone was like, this is just a, like, this is not a good movie. Because I can't really get that. There's too much care put into everything
I could be on the side of arguing for the movie that it's a good movie.
Yeah.
Like, I could definitely do that. Be like, no, like, if someone does say, like, oh, this is a bad film, it's like, I'm sorry, mate. I gotta break this down for you and let's have a discussion. Yeah.
But
So random ass thought. Literally can't even tell you my train of thought.
Oh, yeah.
We should review the Rugrats movie.
Oh, yeah, dude. That would be totally
fire.
You're
gonna lock yourself in to a movie.
I think maybe my train of thought was like childhood nostalgia.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fucking Rugrats movie.
That is legendary. I will say.
On the orange VHS.
I will say. That I can note. I have seen. That was actually potentially one of the
it's
first.
It's funny because I really don't have that much nostalgia for them.
I was kind of thinking. So actually, I do know my train of thought. Mm-hmm. You were talking about like you not having the same nostalgia, Taylor. And then I was like, okay, what movies did he watch as a kid? Did Taylor
you're
watch
like trying to track down.
Kid?
I was like, let me
and
see.
I was like, maybe the Rugrats.
Which was
and
a good choice.
Like, wait, the Rugrats is a great movie.
I think that was potentially one of the first films I ever recall watching in theaters.
And I mean, if Shannon
was
wants
in
to
theaters?
Lock, if
yes.
Shannon wants to, yeah, it was. If Shannon wants to lock in that as her pick,
no.
We certainly can. But
okay, guys, I'm probably not going to lock that in as my pick, but I do want to watch that movie soon.
Soft lock.
Well,
that's
3.5, 4 and 4.5.
Yeah, I don't really know if this movie review podcast started off as a movie review in ET and more of just like.
I think you could also just graph out the energy levels of the podcast, and it definitely we burned out quick. We spiked immediately and then kind of like petered off.
We didn't even have anything to drink in the beginning,
no.
Dude. We were just like throwing off like shots of like. Jokes and ideas and stuff, and just
and
like,
now that
the
we
best.
Have drank, we're like low energy. Maybe this is a tell that we don't actually need to drink to have fun, guys.
Well, we already knew that.
Yeah, we knew that. Yeah,
we knew that.
Just kidding. Yep.
All right,
was this like a
but
PSA?
We're still gonna drink.
Oh my gosh,
that's all, folks. All
right, cheers,
ladies, guys.
See ya.
Hey everyone, if you want more Cinema Hangover, check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. We also post episodes on Spotify, iTunes, and SoundCloud.
If you have any movie suggestions or questions, drop a comment on any of our social medias.
Also, if you have any drink recommendations, be sure to let us know. And again, thank you for listening.